The way we consume media is changing. This show is a great example. You could be listening to Our Ohio Weekly in your car or tooling around in your shop or garage as it airs on your local radio station, or you might be listening to the podcast version on your mobile device or even a smart speaker. I appreciate however you listen, by the way. This goes for just about any program being produced these days for any segment of our society, including agriculture. This week, we'll visit with an ag media mogul who is changing the way farmers and those involved in agriculture get their entertainment and information.
From the Ohio Farm Bureau Studio, this is Our Ohio Weekly, highlighting those who grow our food, fiber, and fuel, while examining issues that are important for farmers and their neighbors throughout the Buckeye State. Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, with this week's news feed, here's Our Ohio Weekly host, Ty Higgins.
If you're a farmer in Northwest Ohio taking part in the H2 Ohio Water Quality Initiative, the next thing you need to do is enroll in the Ohio Agriculture Conservation Initiative's Farmer Certification Program. Shelby County farmer and Ohio Farm Bureau board member Mike Benzman is enrolled.
I am a county cooperator, got that award in mid-80s. So conservation has always been a passion, started no-till back then. So felt this is a program to make sure we're involved in.
OACI's Farmer Certification Program will help improve soil health, yield, and cost efficiency, and deliver cost savings for farmers through practical, workable soil health solutions, something Benzman and his neighbors don't take lightly.
I use cover crops. I do have highly rotable land, so I guess we're always conscious. And as far as neighbors, I do see more and more using cover crops and being conscious of maintaining waterways and putting them in.
Enrollment has been simplified for the OACI Farmer Certification Program, which will help farmers like Benzman take conservation programs to the next level.
Oh, it was easy. Gosh, 5-10 minutes. I filled that out.
To enroll in the OACI Farmer Certification Program, visit ohioaci.org or download the app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. OACI was created as an innovative, collaborative effort of the agricultural, conservation, environmental, and research communities to improve water quality.
We're conscious of what we do, and if this helps drive the point across that we do care and we are here to take care of the soils, I'm all for that.
Farmers participating in the H2 Ohio program must be enrolled in the OACI Farmer Certification Program by March 31st. Again, the website is ohioaci.org. That's ohioaci.org. Rob Sharkey, known in digital circles as the Shark Farmer, is not your average Illinois grain farmer. He's a disruptor who is unwavering in his ability to directly address controversial topics. With the hog crash of 98 in the rearview mirror, a turnkey outfitting business thriving, and a handful of acres demanding more time than is warranted, the only logical step was to launch a necessary yet stupendously groundbreaking podcast, which resonates with thousands of weekly global listeners. Rob Sharkey was part of the 2021 Ohio Farm Bureau Young Agricultural Professionals Winter Leadership Experience as a keynote speaker. He and I had the chance to chat during that time, and I asked him how this whole podcast idea began for him.
Well, I'm also a whitetail deer outfitter, so I've got hunters that come in every year, and we had a hunter come in that was doing a hunter podcast. And the more I got talking to her, I'm like, you know, this is kind of cool. Because I have a notebook full of hunting stories of stupid stuff that the guys do and whatever. So we did that. I set it up and we did a few and they were awful. I mean, they were just bad. For the few people that were there and if you knew the people involved, they were hilarious. But if you were an average person trying to listen from the outside, I mean, they were just horrible. So we did a few. We focused kind of on Ag Twitter and those took off. And that's kind of how we got our start.
In the podcast realm, you know, it's kind of a gray area when it comes to whether that's considered media or not. Do you consider yourself a member of the media? And how do others within ag media spaces treat you and other podcasts?
Well, you know, that's a great question. It's funny. I would say as a rule of thumb, ag podcasters are probably not looked at as ag media by the established ag media. You know, I think in my situation, it's a little different with the XM radio show and now the TV show. But if we were just doing the podcast, No, I don't think there would be any love from the ag media towards podcasting because it's different. It's something new. It's not that traditional style. It's not reading the markets. It's not the weather. It's not the agronomy. And, you know, that's how I sold myself to RFD Radio was basically, hey, all day from first thing in the morning till, you know, you go off on night, you are markets, you're agronomy. Yeah, I mean, you're politics. That's all you are again and again. Let's throw something different in. And that's basically how they let me get a show on there. I can tell you there are several very well-established ag media companies and ag media people that do not like what I do. They do not like ag podcast. And I think it goes back. I did the dirt road tour. It was a social media tour with BASF and Donnery Hales. And that was successful. And then we had a lot of success advertising with the podcast for a Canadian company, Farmer's Edge. So those things back to back, there were companies going to these media companies and saying, hey, we want something different. You know, we want, you know, these podcasts seem to be grabbing attention. So I guess you hear that enough and, you know, you get to the realization that maybe things are changing. There's going to be some brushback. But I think the crux, I think the main thing that happened was when we interviewed the CEO of Tillable. And I was late to the game on that. He had been on every ag media there was. And then we did our interview and it just completely took off. I mean, we made Apple, the iTunes top 25 that week.
Wow.
I mean, it was six-figure downloads. It was like nothing you would believe. And unfortunately, and of course, this is not me. I'm just over here trying to do my thing. But there was a lot of people in agriculture, a lot of farmers, ranchers that were saying very negative comments to people that had already interviewed them. You know, you went light on them. Why didn't you ask these questions? Tillable was a company that would send out letters to landlords trying to get ground away. You know, I was one of those guys. I had firsthand knowledge. I was reading the letter as I was doing the interview. So I had a different take on it. After that interview, yes, very much cold shoulder from ag media. I can tell if I walked into a room full of ag media, I would be in the corner by myself.
It's like when you open those swinging doors in the Western and everybody just stops what they're doing and looks at you funny.
Well, no, because those guys were always cool and intimidating. I would walk in and, yeah, I don't know, throw stuff at me or something.
I think media has expanded and the way that we consume media has changed so dramatically over the past 10 years in particular. I was ag media for a long time, almost a decade. I was in the ag media and I would have been one of those people that would looked at you funny when you walked into the room. But I think that it's guys like you and podcasts that can be a little bit more centered on certain topics or certain individual parts of agriculture that is going to be very valuable in the years to come. And so, you know, it's much different. Even when I do my show now, it's an interview format that, because it's on terrestrial radio, I do it as if it's a regular radio broadcast. You interview much different than me for a couple of reasons. I think that's just your personality. And for two, you really don't know any better, right?
Yes, that's true. But I can tell you, you know, with the radio show, I cannot interview like I do with the podcast. It's just a different format with the timing. And I mean, that is such a skill set that, I mean, stuff that you have mastered, I had to learn. I'm still learning it. And, you know, trying to get trying to pull the best stuff out of the person you're interviewing in a radio format. And that is, to me, that's extremely tough.
And it seems like there's more pressure on the guest. If you're just doing a podcast, and I'm not talking down to podcast, but if you're doing a podcast, it's more relaxed. You can get more of that personal and more of that inner working of what you want to talk about, where that radio is maybe a little bit more rigid and the on-air light comes on and in the guest's head as well. And they put a little bit more pressure on themselves. I think there's something to that.
The best thing about a podcast to me is before we do the interview, I always say, listen, I'm going to feel very comfortable asking any question that comes to my mind. If you promise me, you will say not that or ask it in a different way, because we can edit. Or radio, you guys don't have that option. So yeah, I think the guard is way up on a radio guest compared to a podcast.
That's Rob Sharkey, host of the Shark Farmer podcast. He and I had a chance to visit earlier this year. He was a guest speaker for Ohio Farm Bureau's Young Agricultural Professionals Winter Leadership Experience. I asked him how he went about choosing his guests for the podcast and radio show.
It's a great question. We started out heavy in Ag Twitter. And then, you know, we went like this, and then we just plateaued for a while. And then we started getting some guests outside of Ag Twitter, and, you know, the light's kind of going on, and I'm watching some of these other people in, you know, kind of the influencer space. I'm seeing, you know, the YouTube guys that are just skyrocketing. I'm seeing other people, you know, on Instagram and that. So once we started kind of venturing outside of Ag Twitter is really where we got our growth. It's a mix. I do get a lot of the podcast guests, the radio guests, mainly my wife is getting, she produces the radio show. So there's no formula to it. I mean, we just interviewed a guy is a farmer, but he was a coach of the Broncos, up in Saskatchewan that had the bus accident. And, you know, that there's nothing about farming in that whole thing. So how do I choose my guest? Just whoever looks interesting to me.
We talked about this being the wide world of media. Mm-hmm. And social media is, in fact, a media. How do you use social media compared to how someone that might be a generation younger use social media?
Every time we interview someone, whether it be the podcast or whether it be the radio show, at the end, you always say, yeah, if somebody wants to find you on social media, where do they go? And they'll always list their Instagram, and a lot of the younger ones will do their TikTok. And here I am. I'm this old Ag Twitter guy, because that's how it first started, right? You had Facebook. That was so awkward at the beginning. No one really knew what to do with it. Then you got Ag Twitter. And finally, you were starting to kind of mold what farmers and agriculture was supposed to do with social media. But I mean, now I don't know if you almost put a nail in Ag Twitter. It's changed so much. It's become so hostile, and the whole thing with Twitter and you know, whether it's right or left leaning, I don't know. I find myself on it less and less. You know, I try to do more Instagram, but stuff takes, you know, to do a post, I find myself on there for like 20 minutes, and then it's just like, it's not even worth doing. It's like trying to find my, you know, I'm on a computer and my phone looking at what hashtags to do. So you almost throw your hands up and you're like, well, I hope someone finds us somewhere.
That's Rob Sharkey, otherwise known as the Shark Farmer. He's got a lot going on. Of course, he has his Shark Farmer podcast, a radio show on XM Satellite, and a TV show on RFD TV. As with anybody that gets pretty popular among certain circles, there are some haters online. We'll talk about how he handles his online critics and advice he has for those wanting to get into podcasting as Our Ohio Weekly continues next. No matter what livestock operation you have, your manure is valuable. Pitmaster goes right to work from the moment you pour it in. It can cut thin crust and break up solids. Adding Pitmaster to your pits, lagoons, and across your fields can lower ammonia levels from your livestock facility. Pitmaster improves the consistency of your manure, so it's easier to empty your pit or lagoon. With less agitation, less fuel, in less time. To give Pitmaster a try, call Banbauer Fertilizer and Seed, 888-MAX-CROP.
Fran, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Are you a small business owner supporting agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, and a variety of plans designed to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Farm Bureau Bank has built its entire existence around the lifestyle and needs of farmers. They're here to help grow traditions, give back to agricultural communities, and offer financial convenience for your unique way of life. Visit farmbureau.bank or call one of their personal bankers today, 800-492-3276, to learn more. That's farmbureau.bank or 800-492-3276. From sun up to sundown, Farm Bureau Bank is committed to serving you.
Your projects are a big deal, so use equipment that can get the job done. Cat Equipment sets the standard for the industry. The Cat product line includes more than 300 machines to handle a wide variety of duties. Ohio Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 when buying or leasing qualifying Cat equipment, plus a $250 credit on select work tool attachments. Learn more by visiting ofbf.org/savings and click on the Caterpillar logo. Limitations and restrictions apply.
You're listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins, and this week our guest is Rob Sharkey, otherwise known as the Shark Farmer. He's got a podcast, he's got an XM radio show, he's got a TV show on RFD TV. But it all started for Rob on Twitter. That's where he spends most of his time and where he finds his guests and gets a feel for what's happening in agriculture across the U.S. and the world.
Does it worry you what, and I'm not just poking at ag Twitter, but social media in general, what it's become? Because if you really think about it, 1.5% of us are involved in agriculture in one way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to see is us cannibalizing ourselves on social media. And we have seen that in ag Twitter. And you see it every single day. Does that worry you? Because it seems like to me that we need to be a united force. No matter what kind of producer you are, and does that worry you at all to when we see this little faction of our society that is so important to agriculture start to do this on social media instead of understanding each other? What are your thoughts on that?
It looks bad. It really looks bad. And it's nothing new. And it's not agriculture either. I mean, I don't know if you go onto trucking Twitter and the guy puts, I don't know, he shifted wrong or whatever, he's going to get called out by other truckers. I mean, it does look very bad, but it's gone on. It started with Facebook, and then like Ag Talk, the forums, they got so nasty. Twitter's got so nasty. You start to see it on Instagram. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. People get on there. They're kind of excited, and then maybe some people start rising a little bit, and well, we can't have that. So it's the crabs all in a pot, right? You got, they can get out of a pot. These crab fishermen, it kills me. They put all those crabs in a pot and they fill it up clean to the top. Well, and those crabs can get out, but they never do, because as soon as they start trying, the other ones pull them back down. That's what I see a lot of times in agriculture and social media.
That happened to you. You mentioned when people rise. We saw the stock of the Shark Farmer rise significantly, and now the TV show. Did you see that? Because it seems like, and maybe it's just the way my feed looks, but people still support you. People still, when they watch a show or listen to a podcast, they say good job or we really enjoyed listening to this. Do you have haters?
Oh man. Oh, yeah. You know, it's kind of sad. My wife for Christmas, she bought me a map, and the idea was we're going to put a pin in for every interview we did. And going back to some of the early Shark Farmers, it's like, you know, I don't talk to that person anymore, because, you know, they started tweeting, you know, sellout stuff or whatever. And it's funny, you know, I don't really do the group chats that much. I am in a group chat though with, you know, call us influencers, if nothing else. Some of the bigger names, and not just Ag Twitter, some of the, you know, across other brands and that. It is what it is. I think if you are going to rise, you've got to have Kevlar for skin, because, yeah, people are not going to like it. And, you know, people grow apart. It's human nature. But, yeah, it is. It can be tough at times.
You mentioned with this younger generation, these young ag professionals, how they had to make their own brand in seventh grade. That's fascinating to me that you said that, because it's so true. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I in seventh grade were trying to figure out who the hell we were, let alone what our brand was going to be. And a lot of young people, and I know a lot of them that either want to start a podcast or have started a podcast and maybe have had a little success, or maybe they get what they think they is good for them. And that's all fine and dandy. What's your advice as far as getting into the podcast world and being successful? And I know that your formula is not going to work for everybody, but what advice would you give out there for someone that wanted to take that leap and start their own?
I think be very honest with yourself what you want it to do, right? If you want it to be very niche, if you want it to be for a very small group of people to think it's hilarious, kind of going back to that hunting. For the people involved in those hunting stories, I mean, they still to this day, you should do more of those. You know, it's just, if that's what you want to do. And I think a lot of people start that way. And then, you know, it's like they get frustrated. I do get emails. People say, you know, I can't break 100 downloads. You know, I only get like 100 downloads each podcast. And I'm like, well, you know, if you put out a tweet or a post and you get 100 retweets or you get 100 shares, would you be happy with that? And they're like, yeah. I said, well, you're actually getting downloads. So, I mean, don't compare yourself to the other podcasters. If you do want to grow, I've commercialized it. I mean, it is my job now. That's what I do. I give up a lot for that. I mean, you go back and listen to my first podcast, which please don't, because they're really bad.
Now I've got to.
Yeah. I can't say what I used to say because I've got advertisers. If I dropped the F-bomb on my podcast, I would get how many emails from people that had their kids riding in the back of the car. So yes, if you want to commercialize it, you want to make money off of it, it's got to be different.
We're pretty approachable guys. So if anybody has any questions about anything we talked about or even opinions, I'm always open to suggestions and opinions, to keep that open mind, as we just talked about other philosophies or thoughts. And obviously they can reach out to us whenever they want.
Exactly. Sharkfarmer.com. You can ask me anything.
And mine's also sharkfarmer.com. Just ask my questions to Rob.
That's amazing.
I know. Hey, thank you. I have enjoyed working with you through the years, and you just make my job so much easier. And I think I speak on behalf of everybody when I say thanks for being part of the industry the way that you are. And you're fun to watch. You're fun to listen to. And thanks for taking part in this year's Yap Winter Leadership Experience. And it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, Ty. I mean, the Ohio Farm Bureau should be real proud to have you. I assume you're going to drop an F-bomb and get fired pretty soon. So enjoy it while you can.
Don't see that happening. I do have a favorite four-letter word, but it's farm. Our Ohio Weekly continues after this. It's Women's History Month. We'll meet a woman who has made great contributions all of her life to Ohio agriculture after this. This is Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. With this being Women's History Month, we thought we'd take this segment to tell the story of one Southwest Ohio instructor. The role model she had growing up certainly planted seeds that have sprouted in her career today. Here's this week's To the Beat of Agriculture.
I'm Cindy Folk, and I'm the program leader for Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension, and I work at Central State University. I'm here on the Wilberforce campus, which is the main campus for Central State. Central State University became a land grant in 2014. What it means is we receive federal and state funding to create an agriculture program that includes research, extension, and academics. And so basically my job is to help build the infrastructure for the new extension program, because 2014 was only 6 years ago, and so this is all fresh and this is all new, and it's very exciting. Our mission is to focus on limited resource farmers. We work with minorities. We work with folks that our beginning farmers, folks that are looking to go into organics. And so we're very excited to be working in this area. Part of the class work that we have for the classes that they're attending is the production side. And we're also including a lot of hands-on where we have an actual incubator farm where not only are they receiving the classroom instruction, but then there's a point in the classroom where everybody steps outside, goes over to the small plots that we have in the farm, and actually puts the information they've learned inside to practice. And we find, especially for beginning learners, folks that are learning a new skill, that is so important for them to experience it, immediately have an application to it. It's a little bit like an apprenticeship program. It's not a total apprenticeship program, but it's that idea that they're going to be more successful when they go do their own operation because they have direct experience learning what they've been taught in the classroom. So as part of our facilities that we have here at Central State University, we have a research farm. And on the research farm, we have some extension demonstration areas. And so one of our areas is actually an aquaponic greenhouse where we have two aquaponic systems, which is a fish, and then we have deep water vegetable production. We usually do like lettuces and greens and those types of crops. And we have students who are here on campus that come and work in the facility and help us out. And to me, what was so exciting is we had a young woman who was one of our student workers. And she's actually an engineering student in mechanical engineering and was looking for a student job and came to help us. And she was so excited to learn about growing plants because she had grown up in an apartment. And so she had never experienced having a garden or even having a yard. And so for her to learn about plant production and then, of course, being an engineering student, how mechanical engineering would tie into agriculture, to me was exciting. And that really is why it's exciting that we do have a land grant here at Central State, is those opportunities for students who never considered agriculture. And for her to be able to have hands-on experience really helped her think about her career and maybe including agriculture in her career plan. So the family farm, my dad did not farm on the family farm, but his brothers and sister did. And my aunt was actually one of those farm women who was not inside the house. She was outside. And it was kind of the joke that we had that she was the one who planted the fields because she couldn't believe any of her brothers could drive straight enough. And so all the corn rows looked better when she planted them. And so I really learned confidence from her and really a love for agriculture that I got from her. She really was one of those people that would tell you just to get out there and get it done. It really, you know, she was not one who wanted to sit around. She really strongly believed that the more you got out there, got your feet wet, and started to do something, that the easier it would become. What I've seen over the course of my career is I've seen two things happen. And the first thing is I've seen what has been traditionally a male-dominated industry. And when I first graduated from college and took my first job, I was in the meat industry, which was at that time very male dominated. And what I saw, you know, as I progressed my career and went into other industries, and I've seen this also in the meat industry, is that women have been taken seriously for what the knowledge that they have. Because early in my career, there still was that tendency to, when you're talking in a group of people, the men would address the men, and they wouldn't ever address the woman who was in the group or ask questions of her. They would only ask questions of the men. And as my career has progressed, I've seen that less and less. And then the second thing is I've seen more women in leadership roles. Because, of course, when I graduated from school, it was very hard to find women in leadership roles in the agriculture industry. And that now has changed. And I think that's exciting. And I see a very group of enthusiastic and very knowledgeable women that are following behind me, and so I know we're in good hands because I know they're going to keep carrying the torch.
Thanks to Dr. Cindy for taking the time to tell her story, and a much-deserved thank you to all the women involved in agriculture. You're undoubtedly paving the way and inspiring many more who will follow your path. This segment was produced by our friends at Westler Media. If you'd like to preserve your own story, much like what you just heard, visit them at westlermedia.com, WESSLER media.com. Back after this on Our Ohio Weekly.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Brad, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Paytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Paytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest-working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
Welcome back to Our Ohio Weekly, heard on great radio stations all across the Buckeye State, like WNCO in Ashland, WSRW in Chillicothe, WNKN in Cincinnati and Dayton, and WTVN in Columbus. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, thank you. Teens in their freshman through junior years of high school should have the dates for the upcoming Explore Ag sessions saved. To talk more about that, from the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation, their executive director, Kelly Burns. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Ty. How are you?
Doing great. You know, things are starting to open back up. We're starting to see more things happen in person, and that is great news after a very challenging 2020 with these Explore Ag camps. Talk about not only how 2020 went, but also some of the things that we're looking forward to in 2021.
Well, as you know, 2020 was a very challenging year for us, but we were able to pivot our Explore Ag program to more of a virtual program. However, we are thrilled and excited to open things back up here for 2021. And we're really excited to start planning and having more students participate in this hands-on learning experience. So as many of you or our audience knows, Explore Ag is the foundation's real flagship ag literacy and workforce development program, in which we partner with OSU Extension and offer week-long camps, mini weekend camps, as well as one-day experiences for high school students free of charge. So this is where students are really immersed in that hands-on learning, exposing them to a multitude of careers within agriculture, including those within STEM.
When you talk about students in these camps, you talk about various backgrounds and various skills. What type of students are you looking for when it comes to these Explore Ag camps?
We are looking for a wide variety of students, honestly. I think what's unique about our Explore Ag program is that it does attract students from backgrounds where they may have never seen a tractor or an open field before, which is exciting for us to kind of expose them to that. But also for, you know, the kids that grew up on a farm, you know, if they grew up on, let's say, a dairy farm, may not realize the opportunities there are out there in other areas within agriculture. So we're really excited and take a lot of pride in the multitude of different backgrounds that we're able to attract through Explore Ag.
various students, but also various lessons. It's not just about agriculture and getting into an open field or getting on a tractor for the first time. There are so many different aspects of agriculture that these kids are going to be able to learn about.
There is. So, for example, we have a jam-packed week or weekend for students to come in. In years past, we've toured the Smucker's plant over in the Worcester area. We've also gone to Select Sires, and we've partnered also with Ohio Electric Cooperatives. So it's really an exciting, eye-opening experience to see all of the different ways that agriculture touches our lives and plays a critical role in the everyday operations of what we do. We're always looking for new partners. We love to highlight partners during each of our sessions or one-day experiences. So I would like to say if anyone out there, if their business has a shared interest in exposing and attracting these young students into careers in agriculture, to please reach out. I would encourage you to either reach out to the foundation or you can email info@exploreag.org, and we would love to partner with you.
Explore Ag hosting 2 1-week-long camp sessions in June, one at Ohio State's Columbus campus and one at Ohio State's ATI campus in Worcester, and also 3 3-day sessions over a weekend in July and September. And Kelly, you mentioned that these programs are free, but there is an application deadline coming up soon.
There is. So I want to encourage all high school students to take advantage of this. We are very excited. I will say our 1 week-long camps are filling up fast, but we are excited to roll out this year. What's new is are those 3-day mini weekend camps. And so here, July 9th through 11th, we will be at Central State University for that weekend. Then in July, on July 16th through 18th, we will be back at the Ohio State main campus. And we're excited for a new partner, the University of Findlay, who will host us in September. That's September 10th through the 12th. And so we encourage all students to visit exploreag.org to learn more about these camps, whether it's the week-long or the mini camps, and apply to attend.
Again, the website is exploreag.org. Kelly Burns, Executive Director of the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ty.
Kelly mentioned how the program costs, including on-campus accommodations, meals, staffing, core supplies, program materials, transportation, all been generously sponsored by the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation. Free camps, a chance for your kids to, over the summer months, get out of the house, enjoy nature, learn more about agriculture, more important than all. Go to the website to find out more or follow Explore Ag on Facebook as well. Things are starting to get busy in rural Ohio as the grass greens up and the trees start to bud. Well, the farmers break out the tractors, get out in the fields, and start the 2021 planting season. And while they plant and while those crops grow and they get into the fields to harvest in the fall, the National Ag Statistics Service keeps track of their progress. We'll talk to Ohio's state statistician about how those surveys are formulated and how farmers use them throughout the year. After this, as Our Ohio Weekly continues.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $2.8 billion. Much of that value comes from the standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA membership and Ohio's agriculture is undeniable. The farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn those amazingly fast, four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
From water quality to the farm economy to over-regulation, farmers are facing a lot of challenges. That's why Farm Bureau is there when you can't be. While you're doing chores in the barn, planting seeds in the tractor, or herding livestock in the pasture, your Ohio Farm Bureau is tracking important cases at the courthouse, talking with lawmakers at the State House and on Capitol Hill. Farm Bureau represents you. They are there when you can't be. Become a member or renew your membership today by contacting your county Farm Bureau or by visiting ofbf.org.
Case IH is a proud supporter of Ohio Farm Bureau, and thanks to a membership benefits partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount of up to $500 on every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. So join Ohio Farm Bureau and pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount at OFBF.org. That's OFBF.org.
Fran, let me introduce you to one of the most important people in Peytonville.
Is she the mayor?
No, insurance agent.
She must be really good.
The best. That's why she chooses Nationwide to help protect all the families, businesses, and dreams in Peytonville. People really count on her.
Seems like she's a local celebrity.
She's a local legend.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
No matter where your travels take you, Ohio Farm Bureau membership benefits will follow. Before you check in, check out the wide variety of options Farm Bureau members have when it comes to hotel discounts. From Red Roof Inn to over 30 iconic brands offered through Choice and Wyndham, you'll be able to find the comfort level that's right for you. To learn more on how to save on your lodging needs, visit ofbf.org/savings. Another valuable member benefit exclusive to Ohio Farm Bureau members.
Are you a small business owner supporting and involved with agriculture such as farm equipment, food processing, grocery store, or restaurant service? Do you continue to search for reliable and affordable health coverage? Then search no more. The Ohio Farm Bureau has taken action to offer a new self-funded medical plan to save on expenses. This new health benefits plan, administered in part by Medical Mutual, offers great rates, expanded well care, fixed monthly payments, and a variety of plan designs to meet your needs. Specialty products available to employees include dental, vision, and disability at specially discounted rates. This plan also includes a 24/7 nurse line and a physician consultation service for your convenience. Search no more. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. Receive your exceptionally discounted quote today. That's ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Thank you for listening to Our Ohio Weekly. I'm Ty Higgins. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, conducts hundreds of surveys every year and prepares reports covering virtually every aspect of U.S. agriculture. Cheryl Turner oversees those surveys for Ohio. She's the state statistician for the Ohio Field Office of the USDA NAS Great Lakes Region. She joins us this week on Our Ohio Weekly. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Ty. How you doing?
Doing fine. I mentioned a little bit about what NAS does, but elaborate a bit what your organization's all about and what your role is there.
Okay, we conduct agricultural surveys throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico. We also do the Census of Agriculture. My personal role, I'm the state statistician in Ohio. What this means is primarily I go to trade shows and speak at meetings and events. I also visit with respondents when they have questions or concerns about our data. I answer any and all questions about Ohio agriculture. People contact me via phone, text, email, whatever. And the questions come from general public, farm operators, landlords, Ohio State. I also get questions from other government agencies and congressional and senatorial offices.
Get questions from guys like me as well. My former career as a farm broadcaster, you and I worked quite a bit. In fact, we used your weekly crop progress reports on the network every single week when they came out on Monday afternoons. We'll talk about those reports specifically in a bit, but what other types of surveys do you send out throughout the year?
We survey everything agricultural you can possibly imagine. We survey crops, livestock, grain, livestock prices. We survey grain storage. Bees are a hot topic nowadays. We are starting to survey urban farming, farmers markets, organic farming. As I said, anything agricultural you can think of, we are surveying it.
Spring's a busy time of year on the farm and busy time for NAS as well. You have weekly crop progress surveys that you compile, and those surveys results will be starting to come out here pretty soon. What do they entail?
Okay, the weekly crop progress survey begins the first week of April and continues through the final harvest of Ohio row crops. So we continue the survey until corn and soybeans are 95 to 100% harvested. So we usually stop the survey in late November, early December, depending on the year. On the survey, we asked questions about crop conditions, and this would just be basically, what's the condition of your corn crop? What's the condition of your soybean crop? And we would get an answer of poor, fair, good, or excellent. We also ask on crop progress. So we might say, what percent of your corn is planted? What percent of your soybeans have emerged? And these are answered in percentages. Additionally, we ask about days suitable for field work in the past week and the soil moisture of topsoil and subsoil. And the soil moisture is reported as very short, short, adequate, or surplus, and it is reported in percentages.
As you know, these stats are only as good as the data, and the more data, the better the results. How do you recruit farmers across the state to take part in these surveys?
First of all, let me say everything that is not a census of agriculture is voluntary, but we conduct surveys via phone, internet, mail, and personal interview. Obviously, due to COVID constraints, personal interview has not happened in the past year. We also make every effort to contact operators in the mode that they choose and at their convenience. If there's an operator that says, hey, on March and December hogs, I prefer to be contacted in person, we try to do it. Don't guarantee we do it, but we do try. I believe that U.S. farmers understand the value of good, accurate data, and our numbers are only as good as the respondents' input. Those operators that believe in our data are very helpful, but I guess I would have to say another of my duties is to get the less cooperative operators to see the value of our data. I explain what good numbers mean. I explain to them how we go to other countries and help them set up their programs. We're very good at what we do, and that numbers are knowledge, and knowledge is what you need in farming.
How can listeners find out more about NAS?
Well, first of all, we have a website, the www.nas.usda.gov. But more interesting and entertaining is we actually have a NAS YouTube channel. And these are professionally done YouTube videos, and they're actually pretty good to watch.
You can find those videos and that YouTube page by searching USDA NAS. Cheryl Turner is the state statistician for the Ohio Field Office of the USDA NAS Great Lakes Region, joining us this week on Our Ohio Weekly. I know it's an awful busy time, and you have some very important numbers that will be coming out very soon, so I appreciate you taking time for us here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Spring is officially here, and if not already, planting season across the state will get started in just a couple of days. As those big tractors and planters are on the road, make sure and pay attention as you're on those country roadways and keep our farmers safe.
Our Ohio Weekly is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side and produced by Ohio Farm Bureau, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. Be sure to visit Our Ohio Weekly's podcast page to listen to previous episodes at ofbf.org/OurOhioWeekly.
Thanks for listening. I'm Ty Higgins. We'll see you down the road.